Raycon's newest wireless earbuds, the Everyday E25s, are their best ones yet, with 6 hours of playtime, seamless Bluetooth pairing, and a noise-isolating fit that really allows you to focus on what you're listening to. Get 15% off Raycon wireless earbuds at buyraycon.com/Howie. buyraycon.com/Howie.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
CNN has a major projection to announce, and that is Joe Biden will win Arizona. He is the winner of 11 electoral votes in Arizona. Look at the votes. A little over 11,000 margin. 49.4 to 49.1.
This ain't over. This ain't over by a long shot.
It was rigged. And I demand a recount.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
This week, 82 years ago, Kristallnacht happened. It was the Nazis' warning shot across the bow of our human civilization. After 4 years of a modern-day assault on those same values by Donald Trump, the Biden-Harris team pledges a return to norms, including the truth.
Well, what a terrible thing to say. How could you think that?
This is CNN. Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
This is a great day for our country. We get to take our democracy back.
What do you say to those who are criticizing you, where less than a week ago you went out and stood before a massive crowd who was celebrating Joe Biden's victory, and now you're saying your city has to shut down? How do you have one and not the other?
There are times when we actually do need to have relief and come together, and I felt like that was one of those times. That crowd was gathered whether I was there or not.
Objection! These remarks are profane and irrelevant.
Unchained and unstoppable.
President Trump believes he will be President Trump, have a second term.
It would look pretty bad if he did not attend the inauguration. It would look like sour grapes, wouldn't it?
I think the president will attend his own inauguration. He would have to be there, in fact.
Trump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
Welcome to the show. Keep the faith, baby. It's not over yet. The recounts are continuing. The mainstream media is trying to rush to judgment, as always, with the help of big tech. And it's going to be decided in the courts, it looks like. And there is massive evidence of all kinds of election laws have been violated. Violation of the Equal Protection Clause to the United States Constitution. That's something everyone should take seriously, right? You know, if you're in one county in Pennsylvania and you don't fill out the ballot properly and you want to vote for Donald Trump, you don't get a call saying you need to cure your ballot. But if you're a Joe Biden voter in, say, Philadelphia or Pittsburgh, you get a call if you didn't fill out the ballot properly, and they tell you how to cure your ballot. It's not permissible under the state law, under any state laws, I don't think. 844-500-4242. It is, of course, Friday afternoon, but we've got a normal show planned, as always. And again, I don't want anybody to lose confidence. This thing is not over. And as Donald Trump said, he called up Byron York just out of the blue on Thursday from the Washington Examiner, and he said, "Never bet against me. Never bet against me." And that's a good betting rule. And you know that you may have noticed or heard that Las Vegas, they have not settled the bets. They are not confident that which way this election is going to go. 844-500-4242. I'll tell you what, I'm going to make you a promise, though, today. I am not going to read any excerpts from Barack Obama's latest ghostwritten memoirs or autobiographies or whatever the hell he's calling it. I saw enough just when he said that Trump was using birtherism and invented birtherism. I thought to myself, how much more do I need to know? And how much more does the media need to know that it's BS? Doesn't the media understand that birtherism? This is the only thing I'm going to say about it. Birtherism, meaning the argument that Barack Obama was not born in the United States of America and therefore had no right to become the president of the United States. Where did that rumor, that story, that conspiracy begin? It began when he was trying to sell his first ghostwritten memoirs. He was using Bill Ayers as his ghostwriter back then, because he's not a facile writer, shall we say. He's not a gifted stylist. I think we know that. He doesn't know how to even spell Syracuse. He thinks they're 57 states. He thinks they speak Arabic in Afghanistan. He thinks they speak Austrian in Austria. He's not a well-educated person, let's be honest. So he's trying to sell the book. You know, I'm a member of a protected class, and you have to buy the book. And so he decides to make it even better by saying he was born in Kenya. He puts that in the sell sheet, or his agent, his book agent, put it in the sell sheet. I think he, at the very least, should have proofread the sell sheet before it went out to publishers. But it said he was born in Kenya. So when Hillary Clinton was running against him in 2007, she was doing the usual Oppo research. I don't know if this was Fusion GPS or Christopher Steele or who was handling the Oppo research, but they came up with this sell sheet that said he was born in Kenya. So they started spreading it around. How the hell does that make Donald Trump? So Donald Trump got it at least third hand. Sidney Blumenthal, Sid Vicious, as they called him, later picked up for drunk driving in New Hampshire. Sid Vicious was peddling this to every national reporter who was covering the 2008 Democrat primaries. And again, I don't blame Sid Vicious or Hillary Clinton in this case. They have the smoking gun, his own sell sheet. It's like a rate card if you're a salesman or it's a brochure if you're selling washing machines or lawnmowers. You know, this is how he was selling himself. He was selling himself as an exotic creature who was born in Kenya. And now it becomes Donald Trump's fault, and all these mainstream media are just lapping it up with a spoon like it's the truth. You can't tell me they don't know the truth. Here. I mean, a lot of them don't, probably, but not all of them. Are they all that stupid? They just go with a lie that they know is a lie? Good Lord. That's all I'm going to say, though. That's all I'm going to say. 844-500-4242. Yeah, just when you hear that this weekend about how Trump started the birther rumor, just remember, it started with Hillary. It's like the Willie Horton thing in 1988, you know, Willie Horton, the guy who was let go on a weekend furlough, and he ended up going to Maryland and raping a woman and stabbing her husband. And it was a Mike Dukakis weekend furlough. And George H.W. Bush won the presidential election with the racist meme of Willie Horton, black convict, raping the poor white couple from Maryland. Do you know who invented Willie Horton? Who brought him out of obscurity? That would be Mr. Al Gore. Al Gore, who is now on NBC News demanding that Donald Trump be conciliatory and concede the presidential election. Al Gore came up with Willie Horton in the New York primary in the spring of 1988. George H.W. Bush and his campaign just took the handoff. Good Lord. I mean, this is just the revisionism going on. You know, they always say, well, when the history books are written, we'll know what really happened. I mean, the way things are going, that's not the way it's going to be. When the history books are written, they're going to make it out that Donald Trump was invented birtherism, and that George H.W. Bush invented the Willie Horton narrative, which, by the way, was perfectly true. I mean, if you can't use factual material like Willie Horton going out on a weekend furlough that Mike Dukakis granted him and then raping and knifing people, or you can't say that Barack Obama was claiming to be born in Kenya, what the hell? What are you supposed to use if you can't tell the truth? 844 500-42-42. That is the toll-free number of the Howie Carr Show. We're going to take a lot of calls here today, and we're going to talk more about it when we go to the break, but when we go in the final hour of the show tonight. But a good friend of mine and the Howie Carr Show died last night at his home in Millbury. Howie Winter. He was the legendary boss of the Winter Hill Gang. And he was 91 years old, and he was a really good guy. I know he was a criminal, and he did a lot of time, et cetera, et cetera. But he was a good person, and he loved Grace too. He really loved Grace, and he would always tip his tam o'shanter to Grace when he was in the studio here visiting with us. And he was 91 years old, and he was a veteran of World War II, the U.S. Marine Corps. He joined at the age of 14. 14. That's what guys did then. Joe Moakley, the congressman from South Boston, he's dead now as well. He joined the Merchant Marine at 15. But that was the way they rolled back in those days. And then Howie Winter would always say that, you know, he was in World War II, and then he was in the Irish Gang War against the against the Charlestown crew back in the 1960s. But Howie Winter, deepest condolences to his family and especially his wife, Ellen. And rest in peace. And, you know, we'll talk more about him in the 6 o'clock hour. 844-500-4242. Are you tired of spending your hard-earned cash on high heating bills every year? Well, now you can stop. Thanks to my friends at Eden Pure, you can get a new hybrid portable heater called the Gen 40. I got my hand on it right now if you're on social media. The Eden Pure Gen 40 is guaranteed to save you money on your heating bills. It's safe around children and pets. It won't start a fire like those other unsafe space heaters. This new hybrid heating technology from Eden Pure is causing a frenzy this season. The Gen 40 has two different technologies that heat a home better than your furnace, boiler, or baseboard heating systems. It pays for itself in just a few months. And as a Howie listener, you get the best deals. Go to EdenPure.com and put in code HOWIEDEAL to get $25 off the sale price. That's EdenPure.com and use code word HOWIEDEAL for an extra $25 off. These heaters are in high demand, so go right now to EdenPure.com and use code word HOWIEDEAL to start saving money on your heating bills. I'm Howie Carr.
Don't touch that dial. Howie Carr will be back after this.
This is Jay in Hingham, Massachusetts.
This is Gloria from Haverhill, Mass.
Hi, this is Joe from Howie in the Hills, Florida. And this is the Howie Carr Show.
844-500-4242. Today's poll question is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. I'm holding it in my hand right now. Eden Pure is continuing their buy one, get one sale. Eliminate pet, tobacco, and basement smells for good. My listeners love the Thunderstorm. Go to EdenPure.com and put in code word Howie BOGO. Now, you may know that there was a moratorium on evictions from residential housing that was issued by the state during the height of the panic back in the spring. And that that moratorium expired last month, October 17th. So the city of Somerville, next door to Boston, has issued a new directive. Because the Somerville eviction enforcement moratorium remains in effect, this is from the city solicitor, Francis X. Wright Jr., landlords are prohibiting from enforcing evictions upon residents. So property rights have been abrogated in the all-American city, the city of Seven Hills, Howie Winter's old hometown. You can't evict somebody for non-payment of rent in Somerville. So I want to know, do landlords get a moratorium from having to pay the property taxes as long as they have deadbeat tenants and they can't get rid of them? If they don't have any money coming in, why don't they get a break? I'll bet the landlords are getting less money coming in than most of the tenants. The tenants might be getting the extra dough that came through the COVID relief programs that have been in place. They could get unemployment. They could get welfare. So, Taylor, what's the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Should landlords still be allowed to evict non-paying tenants?
Yes. Yes, I don't know why there was a moratorium to begin with.
89% say yes, they should be able to do so.
Isn't this a great thing that they allow? I'd like to see a landlord in Somerville go into court and just say, hey, I want a moratorium too. You know, I want equal protection under the law. If my deadbeat tenant up on the second floor doesn't have to pay his rent, why the hell do I have to pay property taxes to Mayor Curtatone and his band of hacks? 844-500-4242-603. Where would Howie Winter fix horse races? All over the place. He fixed horse races all over the place. Most of the places he fixed horse races are out of business now, though. I think there are places like Narragansett in Rhode Island. That's the one that comes to mind right off the bat. But they're almost all gone. But they fixed tons of horse races. And finally, the guy Fat Tony Shula, ratted them out. And we can get into all this in the 6 o'clock hour. There's a lot of good stuff with Howie Winter. He was a good guy on top of everything else. 844-500-4242. Let's play the New York Post has a story today. Dessert storm. That's the lead. That's their headline today on the front page. Dessert storm, and some Democrats are blaming the House losses on Nancy Pelosi and her Marie Antoinette let 'em eat cake attitude with the designer gelato and the Sub-Zero freezers. Remember that from the spring. But it wasn't just her that had this attitude. You know, it was the Cuomo brothers walking around without masks on and getting into beefs out in the yard with the fat tire biker who was like close to 70 years old. And it's still going on. Lori Lightfoot, she's the horrible mayor of Chicago. And she was out on Saturday after the media declared Joe Biden the president select. And this was her on last Saturday. Okay, one.
This is a great day for our country. We get to take our democracy back.
Yeah!
Yeah! And I just want to say, for all those people who voted,
amen,
you made this happen.
Okay.
She's not wearing a mask. That's the important thing. So she gets asked about it today. Let's play cut two.
One of the reasons people feel frustrated or skeptical is they're getting a lot of mixed messages. What do you say to those who are criticizing you, where less than a week ago you went out and stood before a massive crowd who was celebrating Joe Biden's victory, and now you're saying your city has to shut down? How do you have one and not the other?
Well, look, I think that we've been saying all along, everybody has to take care. Everybody has to take precaution. I will tell you, in that big crowd a week ago, we had everybody was wearing masks. Look at
right.
You can see the shot here.
Right.
Mask compliance in our city is actually up very, very high. But yes, there are times when we actually do need to have a relief and come together. And I felt like,
well, how about Thanksgiving?
That crowd was gathered.
Does Thanksgiving count
not
as a time
but
of relief and to come together? God. I can't take it. And incidentally, Pritzker, you know, the governor, Jabba the Hutt Pritzker, J.B. Pritzker, his daughter was photographed at a nice dinner party in one of the swell restaurants in the one of the ritzier areas of Chicago. And guess how many people were at her table? 14. I believe that's over the limit a little bit. But hey. Hey, she's a Pritzker. Remember when he said nobody could leave, everybody was locked down, and so his family got on their private jet because they own the Hyatt Hotels. That's where their money comes from. He inherited it. And they flew to Wellington, Florida, down here in Palm Beach County, where they could, where they have a nice horse farm. So again, so everybody else in Chicago and Illinois was locked down, and his family is flying out on a private jet, and Lori Lightfoot doesn't have to worry about getting her hair cut. She brings in somebody. Brad, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Brad.
Howie, I read in the Geller report that the Rhino, Georgia governor is conducting just a phony audit. or a cosmetic audit. Yeah. I'm reading from the Geller Report, and they say the Georgian State Senate GOP leaders are very clear about the process they want to unfold in Georgia.
Yeah. And no, I know. Brad, I'm sorry we took you so late, but yeah, you're right. We're going to be talking with Chris Bedford from The Federalist about Georgia very shortly. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
Once again, the networks are jumping the gun on declaring Georgia for Biden, because that's their fondest wish. And the Georgia recounts seem to be somewhat less than what you would expect. The Georgia GOP chairman is saying they're still not being allowed in to the areas where they're doing the recounts or the re-audits, whatever you want to call it. But there is there's something else that's going on in Georgia. However, this recount or re-audit, whatever it is, turns out, and that's the two Senate races. And in Georgia, you have to get a majority of the votes. Look like Perdue had a majority of the votes. The incumbent who's been elected in the past. But with this torrent of last-minute suspicious ballots, he's slightly under 50%, so he's in a runoff against this pajama boy named John Ossoff. And then there's the second runoff for the Senate seat that was vacated by the guy whose name's slipping my mind, but who got sick, and he resigned. And he was unable to perform the duties of a senator, so he was replaced by Kelly Loeffler, and Doug Collins ran for it, and the congressman, and so Loeffler prevailed over Collins in this jungle primary, they call it, and she's running against this guy, this black minister, who's kind of a radical. He's been a big defender of Jeremiah Wright. And so anyway, we want to check in on this. It's going to be the focus of a lot of attention until the runoffs on January 5th. January 5th, and this is going to decide who controls the Senate. And if the Dems control the Senate, they can pack the Supreme Court. They can add D.C. and Puerto Rico as the 51st and 52nd states and make sure Republicans never have any kind of power again. They can start abolishing the Electoral College, et cetera. It's a very important election. Joining us now is Chris Bedford from The Federalist. We've had him on before. He's written a lot of good stories. He's got a look at what's going on in Georgia. He's got Georgia on his mind. Chris, thanks for being with us here on the Howie Carr Show.
Thanks for having me.
So I would have to say that it looks to me like it's going to be pretty hard for this guy Warnock, this black minister, to win. I mean, given what's come out about him. I mean, he's got the everything going against him in terms of, you know, he's got the, you know, anti-Semitic remarks. You know, he's endorsing, you know, the Reverend Jeremiah Wright, goddamn America. He was arrested for interfering in a child abuse investigation against his church. I mean, this guy is kind of dusted up, isn't he?
Yeah, when you first take a look at him, he kind of looks like the dream Democratic candidate. He's someone who crafted himself after Martin Luther King. He went to the same university that King went to, and now he actually heads the same church that Martin Luther King was at in Georgia. But when you dig in just a little bit deeper and the amount of stuff that's begun to come out on him, I mean, when he was at a church in New York City back in the 90s as a junior minister, they chanted Fidel's name, or they hosted Fidel Castro. Now, you can be a communist, I suppose, but being a communist in a Christian church, this is somebody who literally banned Christmas as well as closing down churches in Cuba. They're chanting his name. He says Reverend Wright's a wonderful man and part of the great, great tradition of black Christianity. This is the guy who says, gee darn America. I mean, he holds nothing back. Even Barack Obama, who was pretty left-wing for Georgia, was strongly against Wright. And, you know, he's against the police. He's called them thugs. It's wild.
Yeah. I don't see that he's got much of a chance, but you can't. I mean, after what's happened with these massive dumps of votes and the fact that these guys are going to have access to all of this money from out of state. I'm just looking here. Warnock raised 80%. This is the black guy, the minister. He raised 80% of his money out of state, and this guy Ossoff raised 87% of his money out of state. That's the bad news. The good news is that this money doesn't seem to have that much effect on these races. Just ask Michael Bloomberg, right?
And that's one thing we've kind of learned since Citizens United is, and we learned this from the Kochs, and we've learned this from Hillary Clinton versus Donald Trump, is that money doesn't really, at the end of the day, make quite as much difference as it was expected to. It's important, but it doesn't make all the difference. And this has been a thing that's been going on. Georgia's been a focus of New York City and Hollywood for years now. We saw that before with Stacey Abrams. In the past, Ossoff, when he ran for the House of Representatives, ran the most expensive race in history and still lost. He's back again running another massively expensive race. I mean, Stacey Abrams, that's another candidate the media said won the election and probably still maintained that across the board, even though she didn't. So there's all this money pouring in. Everyone's focusing on Georgia. At the end of the day, I do think it's going to be an uphill battle for either Democrat to prevail, especially when Donald Trump and the animus that some voters had against him is no longer on the ballot.
Yeah, exactly. And now we're back to this guy, Warnock. His senior advisor thinks defunding the police, quote, will actually make us safer. I don't get it. And I don't get where this guy Ossoff comes off. I mean, he doesn't seem like the kind of guy that would ever have a shot in Georgia. Does he?
He looks a lot more like some of the Democratic candidates that we've seen pop up, whether it's in Texas. He's like made in that thin-chested mold of Trudeau over up there in Canada, where a lot of the Hollywood liberals love him and they think he looks great, but he's not exactly a Georgia boy. In fact, in the last election when he ran in the House, he couldn't even vote in that election because he wasn't a resident, a legal resident in the district he ran in. I mean, there was still a tight race because getting a young and handsome face to come out is excitable, but he's the kind of guy, he's caught on tape saying he wants to bury the GOP, the Trump supporters, and make it so that they can never show their face in public again. And that's not exactly in line with the reconciliation and unity messages that we've been hearing across the board from a lot of these folks.
So they have that on videotape of him saying this, they will never show their face in public again?
That's how badly he wants to beat them, that they will never show their face in public again. It's not a unity message for Americans.
Yeah, it's ironic because it seems like the case in North Carolina, you had another guy who's like one of these candidates. You know, they thought that they had this wonderful guy, Cal Cunningham. You know, he went to UNC, as did I. And, he's a good family man, had been in the state legislature. He was a lawyer, et cetera. And so Chuck Schumer said he's going to be our guy, not the black woman. But then it turns out that the black woman, you know, at least I don't think she had any skeletons in her closet, but Cal Cunningham did, and they blew a totally winnable election. They sometimes it's just best to let local politics play out, don't you think, Chris? And just let the best candidate or the better candidate come to the surface and just go with that person.
It's certainly amazing to watch how local politics still is, even in the age when everything seems political, even down to coronavirus is political these days. But if you look at these candidates on paper, whether they're in Arizona or North Carolina, you say, wow, that's a really impressive candidate. And then someone might tell you, have you heard them speak? Have you heard the way they talk to voters? Have you seen the way they interact with people? Or do you know what they do in their private life? And then suddenly that whole narrative really falls apart, becomes very local.
Someone just asked me on my text line, could the Georgia recount put one or both senators over 50%? It can't put Loeffler over 50% because she didn't. Actually, I think Warnock did better than her, right, in terms of raw votes. But I think it could put Perdue was over 50% until Wednesday or Thursday, wasn't he?
He was, and that's why I was looking into this just recently, just yesterday, last night, to try and figure out, well, could this impact the Senate race? And but at least right now, as the recount has been decided, it's only for the presidential election. It's not going to recount the entire ballot. So I was looking into that myself and was kind of surprised, but I guess they're just trying to really tie it down to one specific aspect of the recount, and that was the race that triggered it.
Well, I would think, though, that I don't know how Georgia election law works, but you would think Purdue would have the right to demand a recount, too. I mean, just like in Michigan, John James, who I think definitely seems to have gotten jobbed along with Trump. I mean, he's demanding a recount, isn't he? After he lost to that Gary Peters, right?
Yeah, I mean, in Michigan, he's demanding a recount. I just haven't heard of a recount being demanded yet from Purdue, at least as of this morning.
Yeah, I'm glad you. I saw you wrote an earlier column that I have in my hand. I read it when I liked it last weekend. Saturday's media declaration is a naked attempt to silence Republicans, and nothing has changed. I was glad to see somebody write that. It was just an attempt to get the Trump 73 million people depressed. They would never have done this if Trump were ahead of Biden by these narrow margins this early on in the process. They wouldn't have done that, would they?
No, I mean, if you look at Alaska where Trump was clearly winning, or you look at any of the states that he was clearly winning, there was such an incredible hesitancy on the part of the media to call that because it didn't fit into their predictions and their models, and it didn't fit into their politics. But then you see places like Georgia and other states where they've been holding out for as long as they possibly could. North Carolina saying, well, we don't know, we don't know. And that's to sow seeds of doubt around the entire country. And now the worst, the most annoying part of this whole thing, and the most insidious part, is that they'll use this declaration from Fox and NBC and Washington Post to ally with the groups in the big tech, whether it's Twitter or Facebook, and shut down the president's attempts for a recount, and anyone else who wants to even bring up the fact that there is demonstrable fraud. I mean, count every vote, yes, but don't count every illegal vote.
Right. Exactly. And as you said, Donald Trump's entire presidency is an affront to the media. His victory was an assertion that they are not in charge. We are. That's why they hate him. It's so true. That's why they have to destroy him. And that's what this power grab is all about. You know, I'm glad you brought up Alaska, too, because I heard, well, we can't call the Senate race. It's just too close to call. And this is in Alaska. And I'm thinking, I always think of Alaska as being pretty solidly, reliably Republican. And then finally, I think they called it Wednesday. They called it 2 days ago. Dan Sullivan, the incumbent Republican, had 57% of the vote to 39% for the independent that was running against him. They had to wait 8 days to call that? Come on. Who's kidding who?
The media definitely took their time. They didn't want to work it into their projections. Now, Alaska's got some difficulties where they've got military abroad, and it's a more difficult state to get around than any other
right,
place
obviously.
In the United States to get votes in. But they sure didn't let their models make the decision for them like we saw in South Carolina earlier in the election.
And as long as I'm getting this off my chest, Chris, another thing that bugged me was Governor Roy Cooper in North Carolina. When they said, why did the counting end on Tuesday night? He said there were no more ballots to count. And then they said, when are we going to get a final count? And he said, November 12th. Wait a second. If you ran out of ballots to count on November the 3rd, why do we have to wait until November 12th? And everything turned out okay in North Carolina, but it wasn't for lack of trying as far as I can see.
I've got a column coming out either Sunday or Monday that's kind of going through some of the ways that the GOP and other folks can really take action right now to try and make sure that this never happens again, that our elections at least can't be doubted. And whether or not who wins the presidential election, make sure that our ballots can actually be trusted. And one of the things that you have to have happen is people watching closely from both sides, Republican and Democrat, and you don't stop until those ballots are counted. You don't just leave the room and turn the lights out where no one can see them until everything's done counting. Call it a long night, an all-nighter, or a long two-nighter. Everyone did that in school. It's time to do that for the election. They're more important than homework.
Yeah, and if you're going to say you had to stop counting because there was a break in a pipe in one of the precincts, you better put in a repair request to get that pipe fixed. They neglected to do that in Atlanta, as you know, Chris.
Messages are like, this is exaggerated. They knew it.
It's just, I'm sorry. I shouldn't be, it makes me angry, but and some people say I shouldn't even be laughing about this, but what am I going to do? Am I going to cut my wrists or, cry? I mean, sometimes you just got to, you got to read these stories about the burst water pipe that didn't burst in Fulton County, Georgia. It's really something. Chris Bedford, have a good weekend, okay? Thanks for being with us. We appreciate it. Never in the history of real estate have government-issued moratoriums against property owners been so widespread, including the latest from Charlie Parker's administration. You just heard me talking about Somerville. Charlie Parker wanted to allow landlords to start evicting deadbeat tenants, but the city of Somerville has stopped it, at least in that one small city north of Boston. Don't wait for the value of your property to sink lower. For over 40 years, J.J. Manning has been the leading auction house in New England. From rural farms, country clubs, estates, and historic office buildings throughout New England, J.J. Manning can get your property sold fast and with no contingencies. There is a big reason why Banker and Tradesman have voted J.J. Manning number one for 7 consecutive years in a row. They have the buyers and they pay cash. When you sell with a real estate broker, you have to pay commission, but with an auction, the buyer pays. This is a really treacherous time to be a property owner anywhere. Commercial real estate is on the wane. Residential real estate in some areas is great. You think residential real estate is going up in Somerville today? I don't think so. You got to know what you're doing. The way to do that is to contact Charlie Gill. That's how to get your property sold fast. Call Charlie Gill at jjmanning.com. With over 16,000 sales and satisfied customers, you could be the next one. Call them today at 800-521-0111 or go to jjmanning.com and get your property sold. Don't take any chances. It's the biggest investment of your life. JJ Manning. I'm Howie Carr.
Keep it here. The captain will be back after this.
This hour of the Howie Carr Show is brought to you in part by Boone's Fish House and Oyster Room on the Portland waterfront. For amazing wood-grilled meats and seafood, visit the home of the baked stuffed lobster, Boone's Portland.
Hi, my name is Jane Lucas, and I am from the town of South China, Maine.
This is Al from Merrimack, New Hampshire.
Hey, I'm Angela from Brewster on the Cape, and this is the one and the only Howie Carr Show.
Scott Hounsell, we had on the other day talking about one of the other states. I think it was Michigan or Pennsylvania. He's doing one every day. Today's one is "Excuse me while I call BS in Georgia." This is all just such jive. Trump increased his performance in every county in Georgia except two. And Georgia, by the way, if you didn't know this is a historical or government trivia question. Georgia has more counties than any other state in the union, 159 counties. So Trump was up in 157 of 159 counties. Biden underperformed Obama in more than 40% of the counties in the state. And yet all he needed to do was take those four counties, and the mainstream media is declaring him the winner. Doug Collins, who ran for the Senate and lost, unfortunately, to Kelly Loeffler. That's why he's not in the runoff. He's leading the recount effort, and he says that this Republican governor and this Republican secretary of state are just unbelievably feeble. This may be one of the cases where the legislature is going to have to just step in. I think they have a Republican-controlled House and Senate in Georgia. There's more stuff going on. We'll take some calls here. Brendan, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Brendan.
Hi, Mr. Carr. I was calling about a college that I would like to look into.
We lost him. Steve, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Steve.
Hi, Howie. Hey, I got a quick question about the 12th Amendment. Have you heard anything about that recently where they say if the president doesn't concede the election because there's some weird stuff going on, that they can eventually push it to a vote in the House of Representatives?
Well, I think that if they don't get 270 votes in the Electoral College, you have to get a majority of votes of the 538. Then it goes to the House of Representatives, and the House of Representatives votes by state delegations. So California with 55 House members gets one vote. Wyoming with one House member gets one vote. So if it goes to the House of Representatives, Donald J. Trump will be reelected President of the United States. Keep your fingers crossed. I'm Howie Carr.